Hi, listeners, and welcome to the Day Record podcast. My name is Britt, and today I have the pleasure of speaking to Mandla Nkosi Mavhengere. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here. I appreciate.
Just to give everyone a bit of a backstory, Mandla collaborated with the Day Record Workshop in 2021, creating a series of monotypes. He's actually a very experienced painter, an established artist, but today we want to find out a little bit more about your practice, who you are as an artist, and how your printmaking experience in the workshop was. So we're looking forward to chatting to you. And I think a great place to start would be if you can give the listeners a little bit of a background as to who you are and how you came to be in the arts.
My name is Mandla Nkosi Mavhengere. I'm a Zimbabwean-born artist residing here in South Africa, Johannesburg. I'm a painter, a printmaker, a drawing artist, and also a sculptor. I work from a studio here in Johannesburg at the Constitution Hill, the Transvaal building.
As you've mentioned, you are from Zimbabwe. You've got a lot of Zimbabwean heritage that features in your artworks. I don't know if you can maybe tell us a little bit more about how your kind of culture and personal identity influences the work that you make.
Because I migrated from Zimbabwe to South Africa, I sort of, to cut the long story short, I embraced my stereotype that I was experiencing in Johannesburg. And I made a concept out of it. And I made a story I refined a story. At first, I was using my personal life stories, like looking at the inflation that we experienced in Zimbabwe, looking at the outsourcing, you know, of income, of just to earn a basic living in Zimbabwe, you know, looking at the year 2002 to 2008. When I was building up my concept, I had to ask someone, you know, which is when I was still at Artist Pro Studio, you know, developing a concept, which is where I studied art, by the way, printmaking. And that person said to me, what defines you as a Zimbabwean? Then I was like, well, I know my definition, but now we have to look at how people describe a Zimbabwean. Then I was like, immediately there's the money, there's the hunger, there's the cross-border issues, documentations. And then I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to talk about because I'm embracing this stereotype that seems to have a possibility of bringing something worthwhile from me.
And I mean, it's very clear that you've brought all of that into your work. A lot of your imagery shows people at work, people in the city, people kind of traveling and migrating. You use a lot of imagery of transport. I don't know if maybe you can unpack some of your symbols. I know a big one that you've become known for is the banknote. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that, what the numbers mean, and how you translate all of those things that you've brought up into your symbols in your work.
So the first thing I did, embracing the stereotype, was to just collect these bearer checks from Zimbabwe. And by then I was doing etchings. And it was so like groundbreaking to me to think, okay, money is made out of engraved plates. And I'm also doing etching plates and I'm printing. And everyone was like, cool, man. Then on and on, I had to sort of detach at the same time, even though I'll be automatically attached. So I had to look into other people's lives. How do people live? How do people survive? And then I realized that there's so much to unpack. Sometimes I wouldn't even see the clues on me, but when I look outside and look at what people experience, then that is where I was like, okay, I have to recreate the banknotes. I have to borrow and parody all these features on other banknotes that are popular, you know. And in context, you look at the dollar, you know, you look at the Chinese currency, and you look at the Zim dollar itself, and you look at the South African rand. So all that, the geometry, you know, from the South African rand, the organic plants, you know, that are in the dollar, and the symbols that are in the Zimbabwean note. So I started recreating that banknote. And on, the build-up, now I have these uneven denominations on my banknotes to sort of emphasize on the uneven, you know, economy and even the rates at which they are paralleled. So thereafter developed the term Gondrowala, which stands for an uncompromised environment, so that it will definitely contrast whatever imagery I would employ onto the banknote. So most of the time that's what I use, you know, that contrast. Sometimes you find the pound and the dollar on the same banknote. But it's mostly, you know, some snippets of my experiences and my observations. Most of the time you have a symbol of wheat, you know, that is now creating a pattern on my banknote. And mind you, Zimbabwe was the breadbasket of Africa. So when I had to develop that after seeing it from one of the bearer checks, I had to really make a definite shape that I'm going to repeat and make my own pattern. So it was a really good development. And over the years, even though sometimes people walk into my exhibition and they think I just went there and all the symbols are just flying into one idea of a banknote. But now it's been a journey on and on. Like I say, now I even have the name of the currency. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And it really has become recognizable. Like you can see a mandala work, you know, you know that that's one of your pieces, which is awesome. And I think it's also really great. I don't know if you want to comment on this, but this, the idea of value and how your artworks represent money, which is a fictional amount. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your artworks do have a certain value. I don't know if that's something that comes into play when you consider your work.
I try not to suggest that this type of banknote, even the of which, well, since I have 25 billion on one of the banknotes, if that could be the price in itself, well, I'll be sorted for life.
Sure, I'm sure.
But I would say that it's all just authentic to the idea at the time, my observation and the theme, and growth in itself. And how people receive it, it's always been also part of the concept where people actually debate and just further explain what, how much they know, or even just say, hey, when I saw your work, this is what transpired because I had an experience with this, then, or we moved from Zimbabwe, or this one time we visited Zimbabwe, it was like this, and now I see that it is like that. So it's the denominations on my banknotes and the value of my work, they don't co-influence each other. It's the story in itself.
Yeah.
And the process, you know, most of the time I try to explain the process as much so that people can understand, you know, first what it takes to get to that destination or to that part of the banknote or whatever composition and design. But I try to unpack the true being, you know, of the work in itself. And value has been a progressive growth. I mean, if I had to tell you how much I started selling my work for and up to now, it's been a really good testimony.
Yes.
To say people really were warming up to the story and resonating, and it's been a good factor to take the value of my work up gradually.
That's wonderful, and I congratulate you on being able to do that just through focusing on what your work is about.
Thank you.
Have you ever run into any kind of conflict or you know, problems with the kind of work and themes that you're addressing in your work?
If I have, maybe I didn't know it was a problem.
Fair enough.
But what I can say, when I observe, sometimes I do observe and really think, okay, because everybody does that. If you are a creative, you just stand back sometimes and look from your outside of yourself and you're like, how does this look? So that is when I sometimes speak to some people and explain my story and explain the type of things I involved there or the type of figures. And that is where you see that, like any other discipline of creativity, there's always going to be people who are like, either they take it personally, or they take it racially, or they are just maybe lenient towards their own other beliefs, which is good because that's why we make art. Recently, I was showing someone one piece of the 32 portraits I did for the Black Sheep exhibition, which was, among other African icons, it was Idi Amin. Then we had a problem with it, like, how can you call him an icon? Then I was like, you know, so those are the kind where you realize, oh, we're different anyway. So conflict is good. I mean, it has caused value for others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. And I appreciate that you also acknowledge that that's the kind of point of art. As an artist,
yeah,
you want to make statements and have conversations with people, and how they respond is part of the work.
Yes, it's part of the work. And it's good to have a debate or disagreement, because it also sharpens your views and your standpoint. Yeah, your purpose as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And then also just going back, because I know while you've been speaking, you focus a lot on the idea of the story that you're telling in your work, and also the process. Knowing that you're a painter and a printmaker, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about the dynamic between those two processes.
Long story short, when I enrolled at Artist Prof Studio, I didn't know they didn't have paintings. like as the major discipline.
Okay.
So on the opening day, I keep hearing them talk about the rollers, and I'm like, where do we get to the part where it's painting? Then I realized, oh my God, in a solely or specialize in printmaking.
Yeah.
So thanks to the friend, you said, I must enroll. And I was like, okay, thanks to him. After a week, I was really thinking about it. And I was like, okay, I'm already good at painting. So this will be a very good additional to my painting. Of course, I focused on printmaking. And while I was still doing my own paintings, raising money for upkeep and all that. And it is when I now graduated where people say that your paintings are so different from your print. So they were trying to tie the two together, like when they're just looking at me as an overall artist. Then it is when I was with William Kenridge, then because I was an intern 2017, the whole of 2017. So
cool.
Spending time there, you look at, okay, he focuses on the process. So I was like, okay, it's about time that I really make solid of these two, like, discipline and mediums. Then I decided that I want to make banknotes on a surface and material where I can paint over them. And then when I made my first lino cut, it was so that I paint within one banknote rectangle shape. By the time I was done making that banknote, I had the thought of like, okay, what if I make them two banknotes, you know, so that it's more of a collage. From then on, so it's been this printmaker was now painting on his own prints.
Okay.
And then everything else has been the process of time and growth. But I would say it's been really great to learn printmaking and break the rules at the same time to suit my creative growth.
Okay.
So you look at that, I'm also do etchings. Now I've been doing monotypes, and I was always doing lino cuts. So it's been a good growth.
Wonderful. And it's also really great to hear how they've kind of informed each other. I mean, it's clear that your painting has informed your printmaking practice and vice versa.
Yeah, because I had to unlearn my painting skills because I'm now painting on the prints, and you have to also sort of accommodate the prints. It's not just a matter of just painting over it to cover it up. So I had to embrace and just to unlearn and relearn painting on a print.
Right.
So I have my own techniques and ways, but it all came out good. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. And just to also touch on your collaboration at the workshop, at our workshop, David Crit Projects in Arts on Main, you did monotypes with us there. I don't know if you can maybe talk a little bit about the monotype process and how you enjoyed that experience.
Yes, I was very keen when I got approached to collaborate. I just wish I had more time. I was nervous at first thinking, okay, I already got this ongoing painting on money thing. So monotypes, I was excited and nervous at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm excited that it's good to add some other types, you know, of art making. And then also I'm nervous that, wow, what if they don't measure up to what I already had going on?
Right.
But, the team carried me really well, and they were very patient. I was picking up really fast, and they told me to relax. I like to work on many artworks at the same time, but
okay.
I had to just okay to say, in all those many artworks, I'll take it step by step, layer and layer. And another hard thing was to choose which theme to go with, because it's sort of the first time now doing monotypes in this concept. The last time I done monotypes was at Artist Pro Studio, you know, still studying. It was good to look at the capabilities and my potential to really switch into a different technique and quickly catch up and come up with a body of work.
Amazing. Yeah, and I must say it's a really beautiful body of work, so we're excited to be able to promote it. I actually wanted to speak about some of the works, if possible. You've got a really beautiful work of a figure, a woman carrying a bowl of fruit with her back to the viewer, and at the bottom there's like a cityscape. I wondered if you could elaborate on this work. I know the title is called Close to the Heart. I don't know if you can tell us why this work's called Close to the Heart and why you chose to go with that kind of imagery.
Yeah, so my work recently, I think over the past 2 years, I've been really centering my stories and my scenarios around the force of ambition. Because I already covered a lot of, you know, this is why, migration, that, fitting in, the animosity, prejudice, xenophobia, the Ubuntu, oneness, whatever. So I was already, I'd really unpacked that. But now I just brought it down to a common factor, you know, when you're looking at people and their ambitions, how far they would go, you know, how far they would go to achieve their dreams, how far they would go to provide, and how far they would go to attain the things that they didn't have and make a story to tell that they went from point A to point Z. So this image, it sort of touches on a lot of things that I talked about before. If you look at the head wrap that she has, you know, the figure has, it's more of the identity crown, you know, that we all carry nowadays. And even if you don't show it off, it's required of you. Like, so tell me, who are you, where are you from, what do you do? And then now, tying it now to my migration concept, looking at people who migrate, you know, for greener pastures. You get into a different environment. You yourself, you have to adjust. At the same time, there are some people that you have to adjust to and be accepted or be regarded as one of their own or the other guy, as a certain ethnicity or one of their own, whichever way. So the head wrap stands for that fabricated identity, which is, it's man-made by the society and by yourself, or who you are known most for through your leaders, you know, depending on which country you're coming from. And she's carrying the fruit basket, you know, looking at the productivity of an individual to provide. Talking about breadwinners, if I must mention, most of the time I like working with ordinary citizens as my figures, people that you can sometimes refer to as peasants, you know. People might not have the influence to the economy or to how things go in the country at large, but they are these heroes for their own families, and they provide. The landscape, mostly attaching most of the time the portrait or the figure with the landscape, is that connection, you know, between the former, you know, homeland and the new homeland of income, the new homeland of greener pastures. So it's always been that connection, vice versa. Either you're missing home or you actually longing to migrate and relocate and get there and strive to attain that which you've been desiring to achieve. So that's mostly how my work is nowadays, you know, the drive of ambition, where there's always close things at heart. There's family close to your heart. There's the nostalgia, you know. There's even how you've been cultured because of that place where you come from. And now you're fitting into a new place, and you've got this, you're still carrying the passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. To achieve things. And it's an obligation to achieve. It's like, you have to give a good report.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a really beautiful summary of what that kind of image means. And I think it's, you know, it's got a really powerful message. And I think by bringing those kinds of connections through, a lot of people will probably see themselves in those works. You use women in your work often, or is it like, is gender not really an issue when it comes to the figures that you use?
Yeah, I do use a lot of women, but I also have a lot of male figures. The idea and the concept of the head wrap obviously was going to work well with female figures. Now, what fueled the female figures in the popularity of my work is because right about the same time when I was starting off this whole head wrap, you know, representing this, then Winnie Mandela passed on, and there was this whole trend of women with a duke. So everyone was inboxing me on Instagram. Ah, we see you, man. You're acknowledging the whole women empowerment. Winnie Mandela, women on a duke. Then I was there like, yeah, you can say that. But I do have a lot of figures, especially young guys in my work, that you can tell they are ambitious. They are like at the point of striving to achieve. You know, they are in this hard labor. They are in this search, you know, for greener pastures and for income or a better life. So I do have those kind. You'd have farmers, you'd have in the mining, a young miner, you know, and then you'd have like my granddad. That was also another separate theme, of course. But I do have male figures, but mostly because of the head wrap and how it's been an easy drive to just carry the idea along of identity in a foreign land.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. No, that definitely makes sense. And in terms of your own identity and your own story in your work, I mean, obviously this is all very personally connected to you, but I mean, you've also got a story of ambition. And I mean, I imagine even as an artist, to kind of make it as an artist isn't an easy journey. So I don't know if you want to comment on that a bit.
Yeah, it's not easy, but at the same time, I think we all find our ways to survive in the process. To survive in the process, and we all have that sense of you're obliged to prosper, and it's like you're obliged to make progress. So it's the same even with us artists, even though I'm talking about it, but at the same time, in my personal life, it's like art has to make it work also for me personally. My well-being, my upkeep, my achievements as a man, as a father, as a family man, and as a practitioner.
Yes. No, it's wonderful to hear, and I'm really impressed to hear about how all of this kind of comes together for you.
Yes.
I wondered if you can maybe talk a little bit about your studio practice. You mentioned that you're at the Transwork
building
in Braamfontein.
Yes.
I don't know if you can maybe tell us a bit about your studio experience. Like, do you work with other artists? Do you work in isolation?
Yeah, at my studio, I do have an assistant, and he got to understand how I work, of which I had to, of course, we had to grow just into it. And but most of the time, I like working alone. And I do get a lot of collaboration requests, and then I do look at them, and I don't usually rush. I look at the whole idea, you know, if we are compatible. But I don't do a lot of collaborations.
Okay.
But the ones that I get into is because I'll be thinking, well, at first I think we can make one voice, you know.
Yeah.
And produce a really good body of work. And then the collaboration with David Crute, it was really good. Like I said before, the team was really helpful. And also to look at that, it's a space that already understands, and they know they have the experience to bring someone in who's used to their own type of art making, and they make that person be comfortable first in the space and secondly in the technique and the mediums that are being used. So for me, it was when I got the invitation and I looked at it, I thought it's growth and it's an opportunity for growth. And to be honest, I was already having an idea about doing an etching project. So when I had Monotype, I was like, well, at least to ease into it, let me try Monotype first.
Yeah.
And we'll see how the relationship with the studio, the David Crute studio, goes.
Yeah, yes. Great. Well, I mean, we've obviously enjoyed having you in the studio, and you've produced some really beautiful Monotypes. So we're looking forward to promoting them and to sharing it with our audience.
Oh, so I know you.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's anything else that you want to speak about that we haven't covered yet.
Yeah, what I'd like to say is that I will do a second set of works, you know, for Monotype. I think I'll be sharper. And the one that has always been my suggestion was to do an etching project, because of the ideas that I already have, to just take this whole ink note thing to the next level and then overlay with the figures on top. So as time goes, it's gonna
Well, it's definitely something to look forward to, so thank you for sharing that. Like I say, we've got the online viewing room. We'll put all the links in our description so people can see all the images and find out a little bit more about you. And thank you so much for joining us today. We'll chat soon.
Thank you for putting me on the spot. I appreciate it.